Hello, everyone. Welcome to AWAI's teleconference series. Today we have a call with Jennifer Stevens, and she is a woman of many talents. She's a copywriter. You may know her from boot camp, but what you may not know is that Jen wears a different hat when she's not writing copy. She is the contributing editor for International Living. Jen has traveled through 23 countries in Latin America, the Caribbean, Europe, and Africa, writing about the best locales for travel, retirement, and investment. She likes to say that in past carnations, she lived in Paris. She wrote market research reports for the Foreign Commercial Service, and she spent 2 years as a Peace Corps volunteer on a spit of sand located between Madagascar and Mozambique. You can read Jen's articles on travel writing in their free e-letter, The Right Way to Travel. Jennifer is also the author of the Ultimate Travel Writers Program, and that is the focus of our call today. So we're delighted to welcome Jen to the call. Hello, Jen.
Hello. Thank you.
The person who's going to be moderating the call is well known to AWAI members, and that is Rebecca Matter. Hello, Rebecca.
Hello, Denise.
Rebecca is the Vice President and Director of Online Marketing for American Writers. She herself is a marketer with over a decade of experience who has spearheaded successful marketing campaigns for products both online and off. She is the managing editor of our Wealthy Web Writer. For those of you who may not know, that's AWAI's new free service giving readers the tools, tips, and techniques you need to write effective web copy. And without further ado, Rebecca, let's get into this world of travel writing.
Thank you so much, and thank you, Jen, for joining us today. I know a lot of our readers and copywriters are interested in learning more about travel writing.
Well, it's my pleasure.
So I'm a big traveler. I love to travel, and travel writing has always just seemed like the most romantic job in the world. Can you kind of get us all on the same page and tell us what exactly a travel writer does?
No, absolutely. And, you know, it really is romantic. It seems from a distance like it would be romantic, and the truth is it really is. Every time you see those magazines that publish surveys about the best jobs in the world, travel writing is always on them, and it really is with reason because basically, you know, as a travel writer, you're getting paid to travel. You know, I've been all over the world, and I have gotten to lots of those destinations for free, and then on top of that, been paid to sort of write down what it is I did and what I thought about the place. It's not a difficult thing to do, and I think that an advantage that you never really hear about that is important to me or that I've come to really enjoy is this idea that you really experience a place in a different way when you're traveling as a travel writer. Because you sort of have this excuse to ask questions and to meet people and to just get yourself into places you wouldn't necessarily get into as simply a vacationer, which I always think of as a more passive activity. When you're traveling as a traveler or a travel writer, you know, you have to take notes. You want to be looking for interesting things that will appeal to somebody else, things you like, and you think, oh, you know, someone else might like this too. I should make a note about this. And suddenly you're just engaged in the place that you're in a different way. And I have found that to be really rewarding over the years. I've met wonderful, interesting people and had some of the most extraordinary experiences and the kinds of experiences I never would have had if I had just been traveling as a tourist. And of course, there's also the benefit of just getting paid to go on vacation, essentially. I know a few years ago, this is an example of the kinds of things you can do. I went to Honduras with my husband, and we at the time we had one child, and we were there for 2 weeks. And the first week, I did kind of run around and interview a few people, and I mean, it wasn't exactly hard labor. I got to see some amazing houses and do some little touristy stuff. And then the second week, all I did was lie around on the beach and have people bring me cocktails and, you know, make sandcastles with the kid. And that was basically all we did. And then I was able to sell enough articles after to cover all of our airfares, the three airfares, and our entire overnight stay for 2 weeks. So I think we ended up paying maybe $300 in the end just to cover meals and stuff. We were in Roatan, which is really cheap and really affordable destination. We could eat lobster for $3. So, I mean, we ate really well. Yeah, we had this, like, great time. And, I mean, we spent 2 weeks on this gorgeous white sand beach, you know, lined with palm trees for the cost that someone would spend, like, a day in Disneyland, you know. So I think that's a good example of why travel writing can make sense for people.
So now you are also a copywriter. How did you actually get started in this, or was it the other way around?
Yeah, it actually was the other way around. I started out on the editorial side of things. I actually started out as a business reporter, a business writer, and then I ended up one of the beats that I covered was business travel, and I kind of just discovered that just held more interest for me. Granted, some of the other things I was covering were like air cargo and power generation. So given the scope of my beats, the business travel is what I found most appealing. And so I ended up, over the years, I ended up at International Living, which is an Agora publication, and eventually worked my way up to being the editor there. And so I was in the business of writing about destinations around the world. I spent usually a week or 2 weeks a month on the road looking at interesting places, and I was looking at them as a traveler. So, you know, I was writing straight-up travel articles about these places and also looking at them for potential investment and that sort of thing. But what I discovered was that there is a huge and very direct affinity between travel writing and copywriting. And I think that it comes down to the fact that as in copy, I mean, your readers, your listeners here will understand that, you know, you want people to take action. It doesn't matter if you're writing long copy or short copy, that the end result is that you want someone to press buy at the end, you know. When it's sort of the same thing with travel writing, because when somebody finishes a travel article, what you want them to do is close the magazine or close the newspaper and look up at their wife and say, oh, my God, we have got to go do this. This sounds like the coolest place or the coolest trip or just the coolest and most interesting restaurant. We need to go do this. And so I think that functionality, that idea that there is this action you want people to take, made it really easy for me to go from writing travel to writing copy, because I was basically already writing copy. I just didn't realize it. And so at Agora, I ended up editing a lot of our travel stuff, but then also editing our copy, our marketing copy. And so I just sort of morphed into the copywriting, in part because that's where the money is. I used to write large checks to the freelance copywriters that I had to fix their copy. And it occurred to me that, boy, I really ought to be sitting on the other side of this desk. So that's how I'd write a $5,000 check, and I'd be like, oh, this is crazy. I had to rewrite that thing. I should just be writing this stuff. So that's how I ended up going from travel writing to copywriting. But there is, again, this affinity.
And so you think if people on the call have that copywriting experience, they've gone through the six-figure course, and they understand the foundation of copywriting, that would then benefit them in the travel writing field?
Absolutely, absolutely, and more than one way. Most important, I think, is that because as a copywriter, you're attuned to the idea that you need to sell your idea to a reader. That's what you do as a copywriter. But it turns out that a lot of freelance writers writing editorial copy, writing articles, they do not understand that. And you know, the thing is, your first reader is an editor. You basically have to sell the idea of your article to an editor. And freelancers, a lot of writers don't understand that, and so they'll do things like they'll write a note to an editor saying things like, you know, would you be interested in my article on France where I spent a week last summer?
What's in it for me?
Right, what's in it for me? That editor's like, no, what did you do last summer? No, I don't care about that. And so I think that, you know, you as a copywriter, you know, well, you just wouldn't do it that way. You understand, hey, you know, that's not really an idea, an article about France. I mean, what's your specific idea? But it's not a way to grab a reader's attention. So I think that the biggest benefit you gain coming at travel writing from a copywriting background is simply that you understand you do have to sell your idea. You have to cook that idea so it's a nice little nugget, just the way you'd cook an idea for a headline. You essentially need to put a headline in front of an editor. You know, and freelancers, a lot of freelancers, I would say the vast, 90% of them maybe, majority, don't understand that. And so if you just do some of the sort of basic principles that you know work in copywriting and you just apply them to when you're, you know, dealing with an editor, when you're creating an idea for a story, you immediately sort of leap to the front of the line because you're just, you're making it easy for an editor to take what you're offering. And so many freelancers don't do that.
That's so interesting. So along with being able, along with helping you write the content, since you're, you know, if you're a copywriter, you've learned how to tell stories and get someone to take an action, you'll have a leg up on actually selling that content to an editor and to a publication.
Yes, absolutely. And in fact, people who've taken the travel writing course will send notes. I will regularly get notes from people saying, hey, you know, I got invited on, there's one in particular, this woman, she's in Australia, and she was invited on this amazing trip for free. And this editor at a magazine, you know, called her, and she'd written one or two articles for this woman, and said, "Hey, would you be interested in going on this press trip for us? You know, the trip is free, and then we'll pay you for your article." And the woman said that the reason that our student popped into her mind was because her letters were always so good. She always could tell from her letter that she had an idea, and that she could tell that idea would be interesting to her readers. And so when she had this like free trip to give away, basically, the first person she thought of was, you know, one of our students who could clearly put an idea together and explain
Excellent.
What it was. So I think, you know, it definitely is helpful.
Cool. So what you've talked a little bit about writing articles and stuff. What exactly do travel writing assignments look like? Are there various types? Are they mainly articles?
There definitely are. And this is actually good news for everybody because, you know, editors want, in the old world, I should that there was a lot more emphasis put on sort of literary articles that were longer. But the truth of the matter is readers' attention spans are shorter today than they used to be. And editors, and to a large degree, are looking for sort of short and sweet pieces. They're very easy to write, and once you understand sort of, I always say, once you understand how little you can actually fit into a paragraph and a half, once you understand the scope, because you can't describe Paris in a paragraph and a half. You know, you might say you found some great little restaurant in the first arrondissement, and it's got, I don't know what it has, something that it has that's special, and you're going to write up a little paragraph about it. That's the kind of thing that editors are often looking for, and as long as once you understand that it's just a little nugget you're delivering, you can sell those things like hotcakes. The other thing editors are moving toward these days is something I think of as sort of guidebook-style coverage. You know, instead of long narratives, oh, we went away together and I'm, you know, and the writer's in the story. Instead of that kind of thing, you see a lot more short and sweet articles that are very practical, the kind of thing you could just rip out and take with you or throw into your, you know, Mexico file, and when you're going to go to Mexico, you'd take it with you and say, hey, here's three restaurants we should check out, kind of thing. So, again, it's very straightforward, very formulaic. You don't need a literary bent to write this stuff. It is not at all rocket science. I would say that it's actually easier than writing copy to a large degree, and I think we've all read this stuff before, so there's no mystery to it. You know, you can look at an article in a magazine and say, okay, I could do that, and just kind of copy the structure. That's exactly how you go about doing it. In the travel writing course, I tried to take a very practical approach to sort of lay out very directly what editors want and how to figure out what they want. And I sort of tell you how to do it. You know, I'm very much a believer in the, like, 80-20 rule, that 80% of the results are obtained by 20% of the effort, and you should focus on that 20%. You know, you don't need to know how to write every single kind of travel article out there to be successful at doing this. If you just sort of aim for the things that you know work, that can be very lucrative for you.
I equate it kind of to writing for the web. A lot of our listeners are really moving into that field because, like you say, the short and sweet copy, you read emails every day, you understand them, and so it's easy to, if you've read quite a few good ones, to then take that formula and turn it into an email for yourself.
Right, exactly.
And you don't have to know everything to be a web writer. You can write autoresponders without ever knowing anything about PPC, SEO, website, architecture, anything like that. You can still make a very good living just with that one piece.
Right, and that is exactly, it's exactly analogous because, you know, you can't, there are still magazines that publish these longer things, and sometimes they're just absolutely wonderful, and you might have a propensity for doing that and knock yourself out, you know, but you don't have to do that. You don't have to sit around painting about what word comes first and what comes next
right,
and what
right,
you should
right.
put in. I mean, you just don't. You can write these short and sweet little things, and they're fun, and they also, you get that sort of feeling of accomplishment, you know. You get
oh,
it done,
absolutely.
And you're like, look at me, I wrote an article, and it has my name on it. It's
I didn't
it's
have to spend
fun.
A month slaving over a 20-page
right,
catalog.
Exactly, exactly. And the other thing, too, with travel is that so many magazines and websites and publications of all ilks publish travel content, even if they're not straight travel publications. So, for example, a magazine geared toward musicians, could very easily include an article about some wonderful music shop, you know, instrument shop in Paris,
or an event
in
Austin. We have Austin City Limits here. I know that's covered a lot in music publications.
Yeah, absolutely, exactly. Events, and you know, there. I saw an article on a knitting shop in London in a knitting magazine. You know, and some enterprising travel writer went and sold that to them, and so that's like another little trick that sometimes I think a lot of freelancers, I'm going to write a travel article, so I'm going to go and get a list of travel publications, and those are the ones I'm going to aim for, and you definitely can do that, but you can also up your chances of getting published by approaching magazines that aren't travel magazines because they're not being bombarded with travel ideas.
Right, and good content is good content. That's good. So, okay, a question that everybody, I'm sure, is on there, they want to ask it right now if they were me. That's the income. You know, what kind of income can you actually make from travel writing?
I think of travel writing, I should answer your question two ways. Can you make a full-time living as a travel writer? Yes, you can, but my friends who do that and who make between, I would say, $50,000 and $60,000 a year doing it write very fast, and they're very good, and they have some regular gigs. You know, they're not spending lots of time trying to find new places to get their articles pitched. They've sort of got a standard thing that they're writing. I should say that you have to add into that the idea that in addition to that cash that they're bringing in, they're basically traveling for free. In addition. So, you know, I can think of my friend Steenie who writes for International Living all the time. You know, she's making money, plus they're covering her expenses. Magazines are covering her expenses everywhere she goes. So even though the cash might not be as much as you could make as a copywriter, your lifestyle is being paid for to a large degree. So that gives you a little extra added value. But, and you know, I think about it this way. My bread and butter these days is as a copywriter because, you know, the truth of the matter is I can sit at my desk and I've got, you know, three children. I cannot be gone the way I once was gone. And I get very nice big checks that come in the door, and that's great. On the other hand, like copywriting, travel writing, you can do from anywhere in the world. And so if I can go and sell enough to cover the cost of a trip or even just cover, you know, the cost of my airfare, that's a pretty good deal as far as I'm concerned, because then I can write off my trip on my taxes. Here's where I should say I'm not a tax accountant or an attorney, and you should ask your person, you know, whether you can do it or not. But, you know, suffice it to say that I'm a big fan of the writing off my travel. But in terms of what magazines and publications pay specifically, anywhere from maybe you might get $75 for a short little piece that's a paragraph long, which took you, you know, 17 minutes to write, so might cover dinner, you know, in 17 minutes worth of writing. I've written for airline magazines before, and when I do that, they pay better. They pay more like $1 or $1.50 a word, and so that'll work out to maybe for a magazine, for a cover story, for an airline magazine, I might have gotten paid $2,000, $1,500 or $2,000, and then in addition, I try to bundle photos with my articles.
Ah.
And then you get paid separately for photos. That's like another little trick. My husband takes wonderful photos, so I just take him with me. He takes photos, and his trip's tax deductible also. And we're able to double what we're making on a job, essentially. And, you know, if you're on vacation and you're traveling, you're taking pictures anyway. You know, we're really not doing anything we wouldn't be doing otherwise. This airline magazine I was writing for, I started writing about Colorado, where we live, for them first, and then I got along with the editor well. She was happy with what she was receiving, so she asked if I would do some other stories for them in other places, and so then they would, like, fly me or, you know, pay for me to go to other places around the country and write for them. And so I, one example, I took Patrick, my husband, and the kids to Omaha, where we happened to have family, and so this was great. We basically went and saw, you know, I saw my mother-in-law for Easter, and the kids got to see all the cousins, and then we went down to Omaha and spent 3 days, this is sort of all expenses paid, basically, going on vacation with the kids. We took them to the zoo, we went to the museums, we ate out really well, we got the nieces to babysit the kids so that we could go out drinking with old college buddies, you know, and then I wrote a sidebar about where to drink in Omaha. I mean, and then I could, I mean, it was paid for, it was crazy, it was absolutely insane that I was being paid to be there. They covered the cost of our gas from our house to Omaha and back. I mean, so, yeah, it was great. So again, I'm, and then I got paid, like, they got paid, I don't know, I think it was like $2,400 for this package. So, you know, that's just
awesome.
An example of the kind. So, you know, that's not a gig you're going to get right out of the gate. You know, I have a long track record of writing copy, but it's definitely doable, and you certainly don't need to be writing for 10 years before you're getting great assignments and you're able to really cash in on some nice perks.
So what are the other perks? Like, so you've talked about your trip to Omaha and the Honduras. So can you give us any other ideas or insights into different types of perks along with free travel?
Absolutely. Let me explain about sort of how the process works. I'll start off by giving you some examples. We have a woman who has taken our travel writing, my travel writing course before, and she, her name is Sandra Kennedy, and she has she's gotten stuff published, or little pieces sort of in various magazines around the world, I think, because I think she had some articles published in Canada and maybe in a South American magazine. But she has been invited on, she's been on this beach resort in Mexico for free. She just spent like a month in Ecuador traveling around, and the whole thing was covered, and it was free. And there we have another gentleman, Roy Stevenson, and the same thing. He has gotten so much stuff published and has been able to cash in on amazing invitations. Recently, he was invited to spend, I think, a week, 5 days or a week in the San Juan Islands on a boat and cruising around. And I think it was some like foodie kind of tour, he and his wife. And it was about $1,000 each that it would have cost them, and they were invited to come for free. And this leads me to why are they being invited to come for free? The way that it works is that, if you think about it, an organization, a hotel or a tour operator or what anybody, an airline, they can take out an ad and hope that people will respond to their ad and use their services. But another thing they can do is hope to get good press, because, you know, you think about it, you know, there's that old saying, just spell my name right. I don't care what you say, just spell my name right. And it kind of does work that way. If you have, you know, if someone in Condé Nast Traveler mentions this little hotel, you as a reader might say, hey, oh, wow, this place sounds great. I should go there. You know, there's that endorsement of it, essentially, and that endorsement is not implicit in an advertisement. So the hotels and airlines and resorts and even sometimes the economic development arms in countries will invite writers to come and experience a place for free in hopes that they'll get some good press. And so people do this all the time. Especially organizations that, like a hotel that's got rooms that are going to be empty, it's kind of no skin off their back to have a writer come and stay. If they'll maybe be able to get some, you know, good press out of it, they're happy
Absolutely.
To say, well, hey, come and stay for a couple, you know, a few nights, two or three nights. And you know, I'm very fortunate to have traveled like that around all over. You can also get lots of just discounts. You know, when I was going to do this Omaha story, I got in touch with the zoo ahead of time, and I said, hey, I'm a writer. I'm writing for this magazine. I don't suppose you have a special – can I pick up a press kit, which is just some information about your zoo when I get there, and do you have perhaps a special press rate or something? I didn't really ask to come in for free, and their PR person sent me a note right back and said, absolutely, I'll have a press kit at the gate, and I've comped you 5 tickets because I had said I'm coming with my kids.
That's
and
perfect.
So, she, you know, yeah, she comped me 5 tickets, and then the same thing at the museums and the same thing. So, I mean, that trip, we didn't pay for anything. And we've had folks, this was really funny, this woman was in, we were doing our travel writer workshop in New York, and she went out for lunch. Like, we had just talked about sort of this sort of thing and how it works. So she went out at lunch, she went over to the museum, which was some museum which was near where we were, and got a VIP tour for free over lunch. It was hysterical. She came back. She's like, sorry, I'm late, but what you just said totally works. I just went and did it. And then she, like, got on their press list. And so now every time she happened to live in New York, so every time they have a new opening or some cool thing going on at the museum, she gets invited to come for free.
That's
so it's
awesome.
Very cool.
It's almost like you're a celebrity. Just
yeah, exactly.
Walk wherever, go wherever you want.
It's kind of fun. You know, you kind of know what's going on in your own hometown, and I'm on the list here in Colorado Springs, and so whenever something's going on, I get a little invite, hey, we're having this thing. You should come for free.
That's awesome. So, okay, so you mentioned about the local stuff, so this is kind of a silly question, but maybe not. Do I actually have to travel to be a travel writer?
Yeah, no, you don't. And, I mean, of course, that you might not think that's a benefit, you know, if you like to travel. But it's actually a really good way to get started. You know, even with this airline, going back to that airline magazine I was writing for, I became her, like, Colorado person, and then I got to know her that way. A lot of publications like to have someone local write about a place because they figure, well, you're local. You're going to know things that the average person passing through might not. And, you know, that's true. You know where you go to have dinner, and you know those little insider neighborhoody places that aren't necessarily on the tourist strip. And so you can really capitalize on that. And an advantage is that in order to cash in on perks and sort of start really getting all that cool stuff and in taking advantage of opportunities to travel for free, you don't have to have 100 articles published to do that. You need maybe 3. And so you can write about your own hometown. No one cares where those places are that you're writing about. So, you know, you could just, if there's an art walk in some little neighborhood or your downtown where you live, maybe on, and we hear, I think we have a First Friday here, and then, you know, all the galleries are open and you can go get a glass of wine and walk from gallery to gallery. You could just go to that, bring a camera, snap a few pictures, write up a little blurb of a few, you know, a couple paragraphs about it, and sell it, and now all of a sudden you've got an article. You didn't have to put any money out to do it. And, you know, you get some practice, and you get to start getting some what we call clips, little evidence, you know, and something to put in your track record folder.
That's awesome.
So, it's a good way to do it.
So what about demand? I mean, it's easier, of course, to look up demand for, you know, the fundraising niche or the financial niche. What is the demand for travel writers?
You know, this is interesting. There is actually a great demand for travel writers who understand what an individual editor is looking for. This kind of goes back to what I said earlier about writers saying, would you be interested in an article about my trip to France? Well, no. You know, and so a lot of people are doing that. If you are spending a little more time just looking at a particular publication and seeing, like, oh, that's what they do, I could write something for that little section. You know, if you spend a little time kind of honing in on specific areas in departments within a magazine and writing something very specifically for that publication, there is a lot of opportunity. And in addition, travel is one of those things, you know, people like to travel. Even people who aren't traveling international, they're going to take day trips from where they live, or they're going to see the national parks here in the States, or whatever they're doing. Everyone's traveling in some way. And these days, there are so many more outlets for travel content than there ever used to be. I mean, when I started in this business, we didn't have the internet, you know, we didn't have online anything, people didn't have websites. Now, today, you've got print magazines and newspapers, but you also have websites that correspond with those print publications, and because those print publications have shrunk in recent years with advertising dollars down, the page count, I'm sure everyone's noticed this, that your Condé Nast Traveler is, you know, smaller than it used to be, and that's purely driven by ad page count. If you don't have enough ads, you can't have enough editorial pages. But what these magazines are doing, instead of completely getting rid of all of that editorial, is they're posting pieces of it online. So they're not actually losing their editorial content. Some of it's just moving to the web. So there's more space to write there. There's also more space in terms of, for example, a tour operator will often have a list nowadays, and, you know, your copywriters will be familiar with this idea of having an e-letter, a newsletter that you send out to your clients. And so they're doing this. Well, they need content for it. They can't always be sending out, hey, we have a tour coming up. I mean, that is ostensibly the excuse for them to be sending something out, but they want to write something interesting about the place that they're going. So there is definitely more opportunity, I think, to write about travel. There are online, a ton of online magazines and publications that are strictly online. that are travel related and dedicated to travel. And I should say too that having clips in those, having articles published in those, even if you don't make a lot of money, can very much these days count as a legitimate example of being published. You know, in the old world, you had to have a print publication and you had to be able to sort of show it to somebody physically, and that is not the case anymore. So editors want to see that you can write. They don't care if you got paid for it or not. They don't care necessarily where it was published.
Kind of like copywriting, you know, with the portfolio samples. I just want to see that you can write, and I can see that by reading your writing. I don't need to know who you worked for or need a bunch of big names behind you.
That is exactly right. And sure, if you can, you know, if you can say, hey, I've been published in the Washington Post and the New York Times, and, well, by all means, go ahead and say that. But you definitely, you absolutely do not have to have that kind of track record in order to start cashing in on perks like free trips and invitations here and there. Again, it's just like you said, they just want to see that you can produce. You know, if you can get your word out there about a place, an organization will be happy to have you come, and hopefully you'll get word out about their place.
I am falling in love with this opportunity.
It's really fun.
As I'm listening to you talk, I'm just like, oh, I have to get the travel writing program. I travel so much, I can totally do this. So
I think we can cut you a deal on it.
Yeah, oh, good. So what about, you know, I know the client side from the copywriting and the web writing side of things. Who are the clients of the travel writer, and how do you actually find them?
To try to sort of make that analogy work, a client is essentially the publications that are looking for content. You as the travel writer are offering an article or articles, and you do need to go knock on doors, at least in the beginning. You have to go knock on doors and say, hey, I have an article that I think might suit you, or knock on another door and say, hey, I have an article that might suit you. So you find them by looking for magazines, looking for publications that seem to be a good fit for what it is you have to offer. And there are actually resources. This is something that I spent a fair amount of time in the travel writing course talking about, sort of how do you find them. For example, there's a book called The Writer's Market. It's just one way to do it. And it's you can buy the thick, it looks like a big, thick phone book. I've gone to the online version so I don't kill a tree a year. It's sort of updated regularly. It's, and you go to writersmarket.com, and on there you'll find a listing of something like, I don't know, 10,000 publications, every publication in the United States basically. And there's a comparable book for the UK. And you can then, it's all searchable. You can just put in travel magazine, or let's say you have an idea for something that's sort of adventure travel related. You might put in adventure travel, and up will pop all the magazines that publish anything related to adventure travel. And so it's not that complicated. I mean, you can just do it in Google. I always think that it's good, and this is just advice I give to copywriters when they're writing copy. I think it's helpful to write for an audience you understand. You know, it isn't a battle for you to figure out.
Yeah.
And so, you know, if you read travel magazines, those are a good place. You know, if you like one in particular, then you're familiar with their style and you are one of their readers. So you understand their readers because you are one. So that's a good place to start.
Okay, good. And then so once I have that list and I kind of know who I'm going to contact now, how do I actually get their attention? You know, how do I make my stuff stand out from somebody else's?
Well, the great thing is that most publications actually post online something called their writer's guidelines. And, you know, this is, again, something else I talk about in the travel writing course, kind of how you find them and how to read them. But it's pretty straightforward. They basically will tell you exactly what they're looking for, and then all you have to do is write exactly what they say. And you would be shocked and horrified at how few writers actually pay attention to the writer's guidelines. It is amazing. I'm doing a lot of work for International Living right now, both on the copy side and on the travel writing side, so I've been helping sort of as a consultant to their editorial staff. And the stuff that they get in the door, I mean, people just aren't paying any attention. It says clearly we do not publish articles about the United States, but probably, you know, two or three times a month someone will say, hey, I have this great article about Cape Cod. Like, okay, we don't do that. And so, you know, I think that one thing, though, so your first line of defense is to simply look at what they actually do And they will actually, you know, there's a document on their website that will tell you exactly what they do and exactly what they're looking for. And furthermore, it will normally tell you exactly the best way to break in. They'll say, we don't hire people we haven't worked for our full, you know, feature articles. However, the best place to break in is within short pieces up here in this section or this section. Here's the editor you should send it to. Here's what you should, you know, I mean, they literally walk you
spell
through
it.
And all you have to do is just follow the directions. If you do nothing but follow the directions, you're already in the top 50% of what editors are getting in the door. And then the second thing you can do to get editors to pay attention to your material is to make sure that you have an idea that is very specific. And again, this goes very much hand in hand with copywriting. You know, when we kind of you'll create a headline and a lead, and you'll maybe go through a review with it. And I think one of the problems people have most often, certainly what I've seen in boot camps over the years, is that their idea is sort of too general. It's not specific enough. It's not cooked. I always think about it as cooked. It's not boiled down to its core well enough. And it's that whole, would you like my article about Paris? No, I don't know what that means. You know, would you be interested in an article about the best crepe cart in the first arrondissement? Now that you can sell.
So I think
if you can kind of hone in on a very specific topic and you've paid attention to what they're looking for, you will have such a much easier time getting your articles sold. And I mean, all this stuff I'm saying seems pretty logical and basic. I'm not, you know, this is not earth-shattering, but so many writers, I think, don't do it, that if you do and you sort of write clearly, you know, all the rules that apply to good copywriting apply to good travel writing, so you want it to sound conversational. You don't, no one wants, you know, travel is supposed to be fun. It shouldn't be arduous to read about it. And so the same sorts of skills that you're applying as a copywriter apply absolutely 100% on the travel writing side.
So you've talked a lot about the different kinds of content and the perks and all that stuff. What is your favorite part of being a travel writer?
This is my favorite part.
Absolutely. If you can only name one.
I like to travel, so I love to get on a plane and go somewhere exotic and then to be there and be thinking to myself. There's always a moment where I sort of stand still and look around and I say, I cannot believe somebody is paying me to do this. Like, I would pay to come on this trip. I would pay and I would love it and I wouldn't complain about it one bit. But instead, someone is paying me. I mean, it's just amazing that it even works, you know? I think I said this earlier, too, just this idea that it lets you experience a place just more richly than you would, because you have a notebook in your hand and you are kind of being nosy. And it's funny, because I'm a pretty outgoing person and I'm relatively nosy, though I don't think of myself as a busybody, but, you know, I like to know what's going on. But when I'm traveling, I'm not the kind of person that would just randomly walk up to a stranger and strike up a conversation. I don't cross that line, except if I'm traveling as a travel writer, all of a sudden I feel like, well, I've got a job to do here. I really should find out what that god-awful looking thing that they're selling is. So, you know, I'll walk up and say, are people eating that? What is that?
Do you wear it on your head?
Right, what is that thing? And I, as a tourist, I'd probably be like, do you know what that is? What is that? What is that thing? I'd ask, you know, someone with me, the other tourist. None of us would know, and we'd keep going. But it does allow you to kind of, you know, have a more fun experience that way.
That's awesome. Yeah, and it gives you that first line of how to actually get that person talking. You feel
like
you
have exactly.
Permission.
And over the years, I've taught lots of folks who are single and a lot of women. And I've traveled by myself a fair amount, and it can be hard, particularly sort of in developing countries where women aren't necessarily out by themselves as much as American women are. It gives you an identity. You know, you have an excuse. You have a story. People can put you in a box. Whereas if you're just traveling as a visitor, they'll be like, why are you by yourself? Where's your husband? What are you doing? Do you have, you know, it's just you're weird. You're an alien. But if you say, oh, I'm a writer, then they're like, oh, okay, oh, you're a writer. Oh, my brother's a writer. You come to my house. We'll have tea. I'll introduce you. You know, it's an entree that you get that you don't get, and it's a sort of level, it's a little bit of protection almost. I think that if you travel by yourself, it's kind of a fun way to do it because you do have that excuse. You do have that reason for being there.
That's really cool. So now I'd like to actually, if you don't mind, talk a little bit about the Ultimate Travel Writers Program.
Yeah.
And that's the program that you help put together to actually teach this skill. So what mm-hmm. exactly will the program teach me?
You know, I tried to be very straightforward. I tried to sort of talk first about what travel writing is, how you break in. I've outlined the fastest, most efficient, the easiest ways to get in, and talk about how the whole industry works and how it's structured and where the shortcuts are, so that you can, you don't have to spend 15 years figuring out how everything works and learning all the skills in order to start selling articles and benefiting from some of the perks. I mean, the truth is, I was an insider from the beginning because I got out of college, and after, you know, kind of gallivanting around the planet a bit and doing this job and that, I ended up on a magazine staff. And so I knew how all this works. I know what editors are looking for because I've been an editor for 15 years. But, you know, if you're coming at it from the outside, you don't know how that works. So basically I kind of lay it all out for everybody so you can see, okay, look, this is what's going on. You're the freelancer. This is the place you know, this is the role you have in this world. So these are your options. You know, some freelancers are going to do this, some are going to do this, some are going to do that. You, however, can just walk right past all those people and do this, because this is what the editors really are looking for. So it's very much about being efficient. And I also spend a lot of time talking about how to write travel articles. Now, I talked today about what, you know, editors are looking for, sort of guidebook style things, and they're looking for short and sweet pieces, and I talk about that in the program as well, and how to write them with tons of examples. I'm a big learn by example person, so I explain it, but then basically I just show you 55 examples of what I'm talking about, so you basically have to be an idiot not to understand by the time I'm done. And I also go through, much like the copywriting course does, with sort of the architecture of a marketing piece, the architecture of a promotion, I talk about the architecture of a travel article. And I go through, gosh, I think it's 9 different kinds of travel articles and how they're structured and what you need to understand about each one to do it. So I kind of try to lay open, you know, the inside so that it's not intimidating, so that you can see that, okay, it's not that hard to do. If I just follow this structure, I'm going to create this kind of article, because there's lots of different kinds. You know, I talked today earlier just about a couple, but there's also, you know, what we call roundup articles, which is, you see these all the time, 5 great ways to save money when you travel, or 3 fabulous spas in Florida, or whatever. You know, I talk about how to write those kinds of things. I talk about how to write reviews, all sorts of different kinds of articles you can sell. But, you know, you don't have to, oh, and I also talk, I should say, too, about the perks, like exactly what do you do to get on the list of, so people will invite you to come on trips for free, and
right,
and how do you say, how do you ask, you know, what and I put in actual emails that I use when I'm asking for things.
That's cool, because I think a lot of people, there's a fear almost of actually going out there, and like, you know what you want and you know kind of how you want to do it, but you don't really know what to say, like what is acceptable, how will they know what I'm asking for.
Right, exactly. And I am not actually at all aggressive in this regard. You know, I don't think I've never sent a letter saying, hey, I'm coming, can I stay for free, just because I think that's kind of obnoxious. People do that and it works, but it's not my style. I'm much more quiet about it and polite, and it still works. You know what I mean? I'm a big believer in just be polite, like the way you would act professionally in your other life, you know, in whatever career you had before you became a copywriter and, you know, and a travel writer. If you just kind of follow those rules and you apply them to travel writing, this will get you very far, you know. And so I kind of walk everyone through exactly what you can say and how you say it and what you should do first and whose list you should get on, and I've put in a whole bunch of examples of letters that I've written, and letters friends of mine who write for, you know, the Washington Post and the New York Times and the Wall Street Journal, and I got stuff from them too to put in there, so you can kind of see it's not just the way I do it, it's the way all successful people do it, you know. And so I kind of walk everybody through it. It's very step by step, but you don't have to finish the course. You don't have to get all the way through it to start benefiting.
So how long do you think, like, what would be the timetable? Either how long would it take me to finish the course if I wanted to, and if I didn't, how long would it take till I could really start making money or getting perks, anything?
Right. Well, I have it divided up so that there is, like, sort of a couple assignments in there, you know, essentially things you can be working on. But the way I structured it, the assignments you're working on essentially have you writing an article for a specific publication. So when you're done with the first assignment, which I'm pretty sure it's still in the first installment, you actually have something you can send to a publication. So you're not working on this like pretend thing so that when you're done you can then go and actually do it. You're actually working on a real article.
Which is really cool.
Yeah. So we've had people over the years, and people say this all the time, like, "Hey, I never even did my first assignment. Like, I saw what you were saying, so I didn't really want to do it that way, so I did it this way, and it's been published. You know, and I never even read the rest of the thing. I never even did the rest of it. You know, or they're like, it's great." And so I think that it's useful because it answers, you know, in its total, it answers all the questions you don't even know you have yet. You know what I mean? I know what those questions should be, so I
answer them
in there.
But yeah,
you don't know that
like
you have it until you really need it, and then you're like, oh, my God, what do I do? And the answer's in there.
That's awesome.
Very clear.
Because, yeah, we have an idea of what travel writers do and what we think we should expect, but you're right. If a question comes up that I wasn't even in my mind because I didn't know it existed, the fact that I can go to the course and get the answer, that's pretty cool.
Right, exactly. And, in fact, we just did We just wrote this book recently called The Lazy Man's Guide to Travel Writing, and essentially the idea is it is the short and sweet, like if you do nothing but just these three or four things, like this is what you should do. It lays it out, the most efficient, quickie, easy ways to get published fast, you know. And people who can take the program and not even go through the whole thing and be published within a month or two. I mean, I had someone who came to our workshop in July, and by the end of September, she'd had two articles published.
Excellent.
You know, so yeah, I think it really is a matter. It's just like with the copywriting course. It's a matter of actually doing it. You know, you sort of put it on your shelf, or you think, oh, I'm going to do this thing, and then you don't actually do it. But the people who do, the people who actually go through and were like, okay, I'm going to actually do this, they get published with great success, huge success, and it's so exciting. One thing very much leads to another. I mean, You publish one little thing and you're like, wow, that was easy. That was fun. I'm going to do that again. And then you write another little blurb and another little blurb, and pretty soon you're writing a little bit of a longer piece, and you're doing it. You don't even realize you're doing it, and all of a sudden you're successfully being published. And I never tire of seeing my byline. I don't know why. I've seen it probably 1,000 times, and I'll open up a magazine and I'll be like, oh, that just looks so pretty.
I wrote that. That's so
exactly.
Cool.
Like, I mean, all I do all day is write, but for some reason when it's in a magazine, like, it's just cool and you can show it around. I mean, literally the last airline thing I did, the fun thing about writing for airline magazines, in addition to them paying very well, is that they just look beautiful. You know, like, they're laid out in this gorgeous way. So, I mean, I was, like, knocking on my parents' door. I mean, how old am I, right? I am a grown woman, long gone from my parents' house. I'm like, Mom, isn't this cute? Look how pretty. I mean, it's completely ridiculous, but it's fun. It's fun. It's validating, and it's also a change of pace. You know, you use a little bit of a different part of your brain when you're writing travel, maybe, than copy.
And I think you hit the nail on the head when you said fun. And that, to me, that's why I just love this opportunity, why I really wanted to introduce AWI members to it, and I wanted to interview you because you also have that copywriting background. But it's a great opportunity for fun, to actually do something fun, even if it's on the side, from whatever it is that you're doing for even your full-time freelance, whether it's copywriting,
absolutely.
Web writing.
I mean, if you can do it and pay for an extra vacation a year, you know what I mean? Like, you're going to take your two vacations, or maybe, you know, I have friends who are copywriters who will go for a month and live someplace else. I have some friends who are going down to Nicaragua for a month this summer, and they're going to be based there, so they'll be working as a copywriter, but they're going to be, you know, down in Nicaragua doing it. Well, if they could write a couple articles while they're down there and just pay for the airfare, like, how cool would that be?
Totally.
You know,
right.
And it's an excuse to go and hang out and meet some new people, and it is fun. It's a nice lifestyle. I think of it that way. For me, it is a lifestyle play. It's not so much about the money as it is about just having an extra excuse to travel, you know, having a reason to go see something new and experience something. I mean, you know, we're not on this planet that long. You might as well enjoy yourself. If you can get paid to do it, all the better.
And that's, one more excuse for me to travel more. I love it. I'm actually definitely getting this program. Cause I'd like to almost put myself through a challenge. You know, can I go on this vacation I have planned in the fall and pay for it with my travel writing?
Yeah.
That would be just such an awesome challenge. So I know I had asked you all for a deal on Ultimate Travel Writers Program before,
mm-hmm.
and I've actually gotten an email back from Lori Allen, the director of the Travel Writing Division, while we've been on this call.
Okay.
So I'm gonna throw the deal out there before you can say no, because we have it recorded. You can't go back afterward and say that we're not going to offer this. But Lori actually just said that we can actually give it away for 50% off.
Oh, that's awesome.
So,
yay. That's great.
That means that if you're on the call right now, awaionline.com/deal-on-travel. Lori has signed off and agreed to give 50% off if you pay in full for the travel program. And they're actually also going to throw in a special bonus, and that's the report that you were just talking about, Jen.
Yeah, the Lazy Man's Guide to Travel Writing. And, you know, that's normally, it sells for $30. But if you get the give us a test drive now, you know, test out this program now, we'll throw that in for free. And that you can keep if you decide it's not, you know, travel writing's not for you.
Oh, that's
After
a good
all,
point.
No worries. You can
the program,
keep the Lazy Man's Guide. And it basically will tell you how to break in, you know, like,
no matter
I
need
to what. Say this, but maybe that's all you need.
But that's a good point to mention. So it's 50% off. You get this guide. And then they also do have the, you know, a 30-day money-back guarantee.
Mm-hmm.
So if for some reason you get the travel program and you're like, you know what, the call was just so exciting, I had to get it, but this isn't something I can do right now, this isn't for me, all you have to do is call back and cancel, and they will refund every penny. So, again,
yes,
it's
absolutely.
awaionline.com/deal-on-travel, or, of course, you can always call member services at 866-879-2924. And that deal will be until the end of the week. And so just go to that URL and get all the details, and then I'll send you an email as well if you're on the call right now, just to kind of wrap up everything so that you know what the deal is and can take advantage. Jen, thank you so much for this call.
Absolutely. It was fun. My pleasure. I hope I see lots of travel writers out there.
Fantastic. And hopefully you'll be seeing a lot of their articles.
Yes.
Good, good. Well, thank you very much, and I will talk to you soon.
Sounds good. Bye-bye.
Bye.